Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
You know what Ford stands for? Fix it again, Tony.
What?
Ford. It stands for fix it Tony.
That's Fiat, Joe.
No, it's Ford.
No, what are you talking about?
What?
Fix it again, Tony, because they always break down.
Okay, Joe.
I mean, I don't know what you're doing to yours. They're pretty reliable over here.
Yeah, I have a Ford. It works really well, and it's like 15 years old at this point, Joe.
Fix it again, Tony. Fix it again, Tony.
This is what I have to put up with every week, Amy.
Hello, I'm Amy. Right meow, apparently. Not later.
And thank you for joining us.
And the name of the show is?
It is The First Podcast.
Yes, welcome to The First Podcast.
My name's Joe, and I'm going to be your co-host today. With me, as always, I have Lars. Thank you for joining us, Amy. You run a fairly successful YouTube channel.
Fairly? Don't be rude to the guests, Joe. Come on.
All right, all right. You run an extremely out-of-this-world, mind-boggling amount of... You've got almost 400,000 subscribers. What's the secret? What's the secret to your success? Let's just jump right in.
Well, I actually come from a background... Like, I did a degree in animation. So I've come from the world of, like, working in the creative industry. So I've worked at, like, studios in London and stuff. And it was kind of, like, I started just making stories, like, therapeutically as, like, I've been through some, like, rough old times. And I just thought, hey, if I kind of catalog this like a diary, then I've got something fun to document. And if somebody, like, if I can teach my younger self, like, if there are any other nerds out there like me going through a tough time too, then maybe it could help people out and make a few less mistakes or, like, help them through some of the crap they're going through. I don't know.
And before we forget, we are sponsored by Amazon and Audible.
Jesus, Joe, come on, get excited for our sponsors.
All right, all right. And before we move on, I forgot to say, we are sponsored by Amazon and Mint Mobile, as well as Audible and NordVPN.
As well as patrons like yourself. We'll go ahead and talk about that a little bit later.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, to personally endorse Audible, as a dyslexic person, it's comes in mighty handy.
Oh, Joe, do you want to get the sponsor out of the way since we're on the topic? Or
of course. Yeah, this is... Okay. What a wonderful time. So,
yes?
Lars, have you ever been driving along in your car and you just say to yourself, you know, I'm driving, I'm listening to some music, but I feel like there's a way for me to be productive. I love to be productive.
Yeah, I say that to myself once a day or so.
There's a great way to be productive when you're driving in your car, Lars, and you should be listening to audiobooks.
Why?
Because it's a great way to read books that you otherwise wouldn't have time for. You're always telling me that between working a full-time job and editing this podcast, you have no time to read. And you used to be a big reader.
Yeah, I did back in the day when I didn't have, you know, a full-time workload and running a podcast on top of it and editing the podcast. Audiobooks really fill a void that has been left in my soul, I would say.
You would say or you do say?
I do say. And if people want to check this service out, I highly recommend they go to audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Yes, that's what I was about to say, Joe.
Sorry.
Audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Here's the thing, guys. Audible has a proposition for you. They want to give you a free book.
A free audiobook?
But in exchange, all they want you to do is sign up for their trial for 30 days.
And you get a 30-day trial?
Yeah, you can keep the book, by the way, if you don't like the service. But if you do, they have very affordable monthly rates. That's audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
Get books like How to Win Friends and Influence People by Carnegie Hall.
Dale Carnegie.
Yes, that's the one.
Let's sell this. Let's move on.
Yes, please.
So, Amy, tell us a little bit about the type of videos that you make on your channel. What types of content do you like to make?
I guess it's a bit of a mixed bag of stuff at the moment where, you know, some of it's kind of life advice stuff, but not technically like directed at people to say you should live your life this way. But it's, you know, stuff I've learned growing up and like, I don't know, just I didn't really fit in as a kid, and I just wanted to make some content that might be relevant to any other weirdos out there.
So some
of it is a bit more serious than others, you know, talking about depression. I haven't made the video yet, but I have serious issues with my mum, so I haven't spoken to her since I was 18. So that's going to be like a video that I eventually want to tackle. But other parts of it are the lighter side of things, like, you know, why I was a weird kid, or like stupid Halloween parties and stuff. So I've got a bit of a balance going on, I think.
Sounds very relatable.
gotta get that hashtag relatable content.
Yeah. So it's more a reflection on life than actual advice necessarily.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would absolutely love to do classic animation stuff like Harry Partridge and OnlyNG. Like, I just adore that stuff, but it's just not sustainable on YouTube anymore, unfortunately. Hence the rise of the story time animators.
Do you have any favorite animators on YouTube?
I've got to say Harry Partridge. Oh, do you mean like story time people?
No, whatever. However you want to answer that is up to you.
I mean, like, I think it was people like Igor Raptor and Harry Partridge that got me into this kind of scene in the first place in making content on YouTube and like aspiring to be like, oh man, I could put stuff on the internet and like actually create stuff someday.
So did you grow up in England your whole life?
I'm actually from Wales. So
Wales. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Since you said London earlier, before we were recording, you had mentioned that you worked in London.
Yeah, no, I lived in London for 7 years. I'm back in Wales at the moment. Okay. Just because London's so expensive.
Ah.
But I was born in Swansea, which is an area of South Wales. And
how expensive is it?
In London?
Mm-hmm.
I was paying almost £1,000, which is like, if you went back, like,
Amy, this is an American podcast.
I know, I'm trying to work it out for you.
I think that's about 12, 15.
The thing is, like, a few years ago, the dollar rate would have been completely different. It's just because the pound is so bad right now because of Brexit that it's all changed. But yeah, it's
so now's a good time to, now's a good time to visit.
Now's a good time for me to be doing business in America.
Well, Lars, we can get more pounds for our dollars if we go to England. Now's never been a better time to relocate.
Joe, I don't think we should be giving financial advice on the podcast. We're not really qualified for that.
Here's what you do. You sell your pounds.
But considering I was living with three other people in a flat and I had the smallest room, it was like $1,300 or something a month.
Jesus Christ.
Compared to here, I'm living in Wales again now, but closer to the border to England. And it is about the equivalent of $900 for a four-bedroom house. So I have my own art studio.
That's not bad.
Which is nice.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's makes me want to move to Wales. Four-bedroom house for only several hundred dollars.
Okay, Joe. Can you speak Welsh?
I can, yes. We're doing Yatachara Cymraeg.
I have no idea what that means, but I'll take your word for it.
I said, yes, I can speak Welsh.
Okay.
Can you say you are listening to the first podcast in Welsh?
Rydychin, I'm trying to remember what listening is. I remember what C is, which is Edrych. Rydychin listener I podcast cyntaf.
All right, thank you.
I could cut that was pretty good. I mean, I have no idea if that's accurate or not.
So I went to a Welsh primary school because my parents thought it would be cool for me to learn another language. So they don't speak Welsh. But
oh, thank you, Loud Helicopter, for going by my house right now. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, no.
Lars lives on a helipad.
Well, yeah, it's a really inconvenient place to record a podcast, but you got to do what you got to do.
I don't know why he rented his studio on the helipad. To be honest.
Are you in LA?
Shut up! What are you... Are you, like, flying right over my house? God.
I can hear it.
It sounds like he's about to land here. What the fuck?
Well, you are working from a helipad.
Yeah.
Did you ask if we live in LA?
Oh, yeah.
Amy, we live next to LA. Just south of LA. Okay, cool. Within driving distance. I was in LA like a day or like 2 days ago.
Joe, what exactly are your cross streets again? I forgot.
Hollywood Studios Boulevard and Magic Way Kingdom.
What?
All right.
Oh, wow. So you're right by the Disney parks.
Yeah. No. Oh, speaking of which, didn't you just go to... I was watching your video about VidCon.
Yeah. So I was like staying basically just like 10-minute walk from Disneyland.
In one of the hotels?
No, we had an Airbnb, which you're not supposed to have because it's illegal.
Oh. Oh, we won't tell.
That's okay. Everybody knows now.
Wait, since when are Airbnbs illegal?
Well, apparently in that certain area they were because it was doing so badly for Californian businesses. But I think they're revoking it next year or something, somebody was saying. Don't quote me on that.
I was going to say, because we run an Airbnb at my house, and I was getting concerned, like... If we were
engaging in Anaheim, it's illegal.
Oh,
but
where you
live, it's not on the helipad.
Wait, is that because like Disneyland tried to make it that way or something? Or
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Disney has its fingers in a lot of pies.
I don't know. I can't speak to Disney, but I don't know. But probably.
Yeah.
Now, Amy, how was VidCon? Was it your first time going?
It was. Yeah, I have been to California before. But yeah, it was my first US VidCon, and it was just like amazing to meet sort of other creative people, and we sort of bonded over like flash crashing and all that good stuff.
Did anybody recognize you?
Yeah, like quite a few people, especially when we were queuing. I think because I had pink hair at the time as well, like it kind of stands out a little bit more.
Any interesting stories? Like, was anybody like creepy or weird?
There was this guy that was pestering a load of people on Twitter a while back to like record something for a video. And I didn't realize it was him, but he was going around and like shoving recorders in people's faces and being like, say hi right now and stuff like that. And it was just like, whoa, dude, like at least ask me first. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Oh, was that Rice Gum?
No.
Oh, okay.
Was it PewDiePie?
I wish.
What would you do if PewDiePie came up to you and just shoved a camera in your face and was like, say hi right now, right meow? Would you say hi?
Yeah. The people I like fangirl over are kind of like nerds.
I was actually the guy with the camera, Amy.
Uh-huh. Oh,
Jesus, Joe.
Just kidding.
Joe, you make an ass of yourself a lot on this podcast.
I'm just kidding. Could you imagine? What would you do if it was me and I was like, I tricked you into being on my show anyway? Like, Jesus. Here we are.
Oh, cool, dude.
Wouldn't that be horrible?
Joe, you're making me cringe a lot right now.
Shut the fuck up, Lars. I'm telling my jokes, Lars.
It's painful to watch.
Well, if you're going to VidCon next year and I'm going, then you can like flag me down and be like, hey, look, it's in this situation where I have the camera now and you can say hi. And I'd be like, hi.
I have an actual like good question, though.
Oh, by all means. Like ask. By all means, Lars.
Mm-hmm.
Ask your good question. Juxtaposed to my
ask
bad
my
questions,
fucking...
right?
Okay. All right. Let's go. All right. So I don't know if this is necessarily due to you purging your content at some point, but I did notice that you have very few videos for someone of your subscriber count.
Mm-hmm. I got rid of some of the stuff that was kind of bulking it up. I had a chat with a friend whilst I was in LA, and he was sort of going through my channel, and he was like, just get rid of any of the stuff that isn't related to what you do now. So it was all like old stuff I posted when I started the channel, and I didn't know what I wanted it to be, so it was like some old art videos. Old channel intro, which isn't really relevant. So there weren't that many videos. It was maybe like four or something, but it was just like old stuff that I'd helped other people out on and stuff that doesn't directly link to the kind of stuff I do now.
Okay. But that would still only be like 19 videos, which is, that's not much. How do you get so much attention with so little content?
I don't know. I think it was because the Aphantasia video just like really took off. Okay. Which was, like, I'm grateful that that one did more than any of the others, because it's, like, a really interesting topic, and it brought a lot of questions to people's minds that wouldn't ordinarily think of that kind of stuff, especially with, like, how we treat kids in schools that may be struggling with certain problems because they can't mentally visualize something. It's just a really interesting topic. But I don't know. I think YouTube just, like, started suggesting my videos like crazy. Mm-hmm. It's slowed down a lot now because I kind of took a 3-month break. Actually, over the VidCon thing, because one of the videos that came out around that time, it got demonetized for like a week, and it kind of screwed up my whole plan. So, yeah, it's been on a bit of a plateau at the moment, but I'm looking forward to the next video I've got in the works.
Oh, by the way, that led me to two other questions I have.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, just to recap for the listeners who may not know what that is, can you give like a brief 15-second summary of what aphantasia is?
Okay, so aphantasia is the inability to consciously visualize in your mind. So when, this is more than 15 seconds now, but that's the summary. So when listening to a meditation...
Well, we're out of time, so...
Oh, no!
That's our time, maybe.
Go ahead.
But yeah, you know, if you're listening to like a meditation tape and it's like, visualize a beautiful beach, or this is your safe space, you don't have to be anxious here, you are the architect of your own room. Mm. And this is how originally I found out about it, was because I went to some hypnotherapy, and the guy that was trying to get me into this subconscious state, the whole process is a visual one. So you have to go through building your own room and walking down some stairs, and then there's a door and you see your memories projected onto a screen. And I realized, hang on a sec, am I supposed to be seeing this? And he was like, yes, even if it's like very dim. And I was just, I couldn't fathom that. Like, it just, I couldn't see anything. I understand concepts of things, but I can't see pictures in my mind, which is really weird, especially with being a creative.
Is that common for somebody to not be able to see?
Joe, I had a second question.
Well, there was a pause, and I thought that pause meant that I was able. All right, go ahead, Lars.
Stay in your lane, Joe. No, just kidding. Number two was, you mentioned that you'd been trying some visualization exercises to attempt to improve your situation, and I was curious if they had started to work.
Yes and no. So I still can't consciously, like the image streaming didn't work, and I've tried a lot of different things, and I'm still in the middle of like doing experiments with things and maybe seeking like not exactly hypnotherapy, but maybe it's like a subconscious thing that like, because it could be one of a few things, in that I could have never been able to visualize and my brain developed in a certain pathway that didn't rely on visual imagery to remember things. It relied on different connections, or it's due to some like trauma or something. So I'm like, I want to do like a part two video of like everything I've tried, people I've spoken to, and see where it goes, really, because nothing has, so to speak, I can't consciously visualize, but I have noticed that, like, I've been meditating a lot more, and I'm feeling different, and sometimes just before, like, I go to sleep, I start, like, semi-visualizing things as I'm dropping off into a dream state, but it's very hard for me to stay in that state and not, like, completely fall asleep, so I'm still working on that.
Okay. Joe?
I have a...
Well, I'm curious about something, Joe.
Well, you asked like 3 questions in a row. Can I get one?
Lars, fine.
All right. Thank you, Lars. Thank you. You're being very gracious this interview. Okay. I have a coworker who has the same thing.
Yeah, it is. It is actually very uncommon.
He was explaining that if he sort of daydreams inadvertently, he can start picturing things in his mind. But as soon as he starts thinking about it, then he can no longer do that. And he can dream, but do you dream?
Yeah, no, I dream really vividly, but it's really bizarre because like when I wake up, it fades away so quickly that I can't recall it in visual format, but I'm recalling it as if it's just happened in the last second. Like, you know, if I picked up a pen and it's like I put it down, I know I've still picked up a pen because I picked up a pen. So when I wake up, it's like that kind of situation. It's like, oh, I know it just happened. But I can't like I can't relive it as the dream.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre. Like I've been recording a lot of my dreams because I get quite vivid dreams. So like that's another, I've never been able to lucid dream so far, but I'm trying to at the moment like try and keep on top of, like, as soon as I wake up, writing down, or more what I tend to do is record it on my phone. So, like, I've got loads of recordings of me sleepily playing, oh, in my dream, like, I did this. And, like, sometimes I'll nod off again, and, it, like, the recording's just silent for, like, 10 minutes, and then I wake up, and it's like, ugh!
That's funny.
I'd love to make a video of those someday, because they're just hilarious.
Joe, in the video that she did, by the way, about aphantasia, she mentioned there's, like, a 0 to 10 scale of how well your brain, or how good your brain is at being able to conjure up a mental image. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious where you would land on that scale.
Well, I think it's relative, because maybe to me, I'm at like an 8, but there's people who would be at like a 20. And I'm like, if I could experience that, I'm actually more like a 4. I don't know. Like,
well, like just on the top of your head, like if you're trying to picture, let's say like an apple, how vivid is it in your head?
Like pretty vivid. It's got like a worm eating at it, and like the stem, and I could like, you know, it's very, very detailed.
Oh man, I'm so jealous.
The leaf has like the little veins on it. I don't know. I could like zoom in and out of it.
Worms are kind of gross, so I wouldn't be too jealous.
That's insane. So obviously, like when I think of an apple, it's just the concept of an apple. Like it's an apple. It could be green. It could be red. It could have a leaf. But I'm not seeing it. It's just all hypotheticals.
I'm curious. So like if you go online and Google an apple, obviously you would see like an apple on the screen, right?
Yeah, and it's like in my head, like I know what would happen if I Googled an apple. I'd get pictures of apples, but I can't see the color. I can't see it being red. I can't see it being reflective. But I know it can be those features. You know, I know it can have dimples on the skin. I know it can be rotten. I know it can be fresh.
So when I'm like, when I just said, like, if you Google an apple on a computer screen, you didn't pick like a picture of a computer screen didn't pop into your head?
No, it's more like I don't see words. It's not like a list of things, but it's almost like a digital list of like, you know what a computer screen is. And it's sort of like branching off into loads of different things like laptop screen, tablet screen, you know, desktop screen, of like all that collective knowledge, but not actually picturing it.
Yeah, just knowing about the different ones. Are you seeing like, can you picture like a list of words?
No, I can't see the words.
But you just are aware of the words?
Mm-hmm. Well,
Or like you're aware of the things. That's pretty cool.
So another good way I found of testing it better than the apple is to ask somebody to imagine three spheres or three balls, and then ask them how are they laid out, or like ask people to tell you more details about them. So the people that can visualize will say, oh, one ball is red, one ball is blue, one ball is green. They're evenly spaced. One is turned or whatever. Like people just, the image is there. But for me, that can't exist because they can't be laid out because they aren't. It's just like, oh, there could be three balls. I know if what I could, that physically could look like, but I'm not seeing it.
That's so interesting. Oh,
that reminds me of kind of a reverse phenomenon, which you may or may not be aware of, where if you're someone who can produce a mental image, if you try to not produce it, you will still produce it. Like,
oh, like saying, don't think about pink elephants.
Yeah, like it's impossible not to at that point. So it's kind of weird. It's like,
well, not for Amy.
No, but I can think of the concept of a pink. No, it works the same with me with like unconscious thought, right? With like, you could say, think of something blue. And I would think, I don't know, blueberries, but even though they're not that blue. But, you know, it's just the relation to it. My brain is like connecting things together, but I'm not seeing a picture of it.
What if you're remembering something that happened?
Yeah, if you said don't imagine pink elephants, I could think of the concept of an elf. Like, I know what an elephant looks like. I know hypothetically what it could look like if it had a skin pigment. You know, are we talking flesh tone? Are we talking like bright cartoony pink? But I won't see the picture in my head. And it is really bizarre to comprehend. And I really wish I could just hook my brain up to somebody else's just to like see, you know, what other people are thinking. But this also comes back to like, is the red I'm seeing in real life what you're really saying, or is it just that we relate the same thing to the color red, you know, because it could be blue to you, but because we both call it red, it's
did you know apparently before a certain amount of time, let's say like 1,000 years ago or whatever it was, humans did not see the color, I think it was, they did not see the color blue.
Interesting.
What? Yeah, that there
is that it, maybe is that what's the reason for that? Is it something to do with like survival? Because I know like a lot of blue things can tend to be toxic.
So it has to do with the fact that I think it was blue. It might have been like purple or something. But
is this true at all, Joe?
Yes, this is true. According to science articles that I've read, if you go back to all the tribes and you in, across the world and the civilizations from like 1,000 years ago or more, you'll only see references to certain colors. First, it's light and dark colors. If you go back like super long ago, and then you start seeing appearances of like, I think your reds.
But is that because that they weren't right readily available? Materials to make blue. Like obviously, like ancient Egyptians used a lot of turquoise, but maybe they were able to get things to make dyes.
Exactly. There were not a lot of blue. I think it was blue. It might have been purple, but
I mean, blue is a very difficult color to make vividly. Like, you know, the amount of times you walk in a grocery store or whatever and see a vivid blue, like natural thing,
it doesn't
really
occur
exist
in,
other than purple carrots, which is the color they're meant to be naturally.
So the ocean was usually described as, I think, red or purple, actually.
What?
When they looked at the ocean, they wouldn't see it as blue. They would see it as more of a red because the trees. The tree bark is brown, which is like something like a red. And then the animal, like mammals, have fur that's kind of reddish. So they look at the ocean, and if you're not trained to look at blue things, maybe it wasn't exactly like the red of a tree bark, but that's how they knew it. Like, they know it's not white, it's not black, it's like red.
Something else.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't that be like a subjective perception thing as opposed to an objective experience? Because blue still existed back then.
They just could not perceive it.
Yeah, that's weird. That's really weird.
Anyway, so do your parents know that you have like a YouTube channel, or they're just like, oh, she's on the internet again. She's doing her internet.
My dad's a big fan of what I do. He's always like rooting on for me. So that's nice.
Oh, that's good.
Joe, have your parents had any reaction to your podcast / TikTok success?
My mom doesn't know that I do a podcast. I've told her like a couple times and
she's in denial.
She doesn't remember.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't remember. And then my dad hasn't listened to it. And
probably for the best.
My mom doesn't know that I do TikTok, and my dad knows that I get like millions of views on there, but he doesn't know why. He's like, you make this video.
I'll have to check you out on TikTok.
Are you on TikTok?
Yeah.
I am. I've only recently joined, and like, it's really funny because my polished videos don't do well, but like the really sketchy ones of In Process do. It's really confusing to me.
Yeah, check me out.
It's interesting. It's interesting because like this is kind of a smaller podcast, although I did learn some news about that today. We'll talk about that in a second. But comparatively, like Joe is just like shockingly big on TikTok. It blows my mind to see his numbers. It's great, but it's just like really.
I wish they gave you the number of views that you got, because the number of views is obviously much higher than the number of likes. It's like a 10 to 1 ratio.
Yeah, no, exactly. What's your username on it?
Disney Alexi, DisneyAlexei.
Oh, thank you, Joe. I didn't know how to spell Disney. That was very helpful. No, but you just hit like a million likes, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
A million likes. I think I just hit 21,000 followers.
Oh, and the thing I was going to mention is that I actually just found out we are the 303rd most popular podcast in the world. So yay for us.
Yay.
Wow.
Number 303.
Yeah. The next 302 can fuck off.
Yeah.
That's.
Thank you. Thank you in the chat. Everybody clapping. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you to our other sponsor, Amazon.com. Let's go ahead and talk about that, Joe.
Amazon.com, you know them as the website where you can buy books and forks.
Books and forks.
Yeah, and others, you know, whatever you want, it's on Amazon.
Yeah, guys, you were going to shop on Amazon today, probably. I mean, you've probably purchased something from them in the last week, if not sooner. I don't hear any denials, exactly.
Go to Amazon.T1Podcast.com.
Bookmark it.
Amazon.T1Podcast.com. Make it your bookmark. Every time you click on that Amazon bookmark, you'll be helping to support us, Lars and Joe. And that's really all that matters.
Support the show, guys. And if you've been tuning in for a while and you want to help support us in a way that doesn't cost you any extra money.
It doesn't cost you anything extra.
You were going to shop there. So just go to Amazon. t1podcast.com. All of our sponsors at this point are free. They don't cost you anything. All right, that is it for the ads on this episode, sort of, because we'll be plugging our Patreon and other stuff later. Okay, Amy, I'm gonna ask you something here, and I'm going to point out that this is the last time we're going to ask this question. It's a standard on the podcast, but I kind of feel like once Jobby the Hong gave his answer to it, I kind of want to retire it.
So, what's your lame superpower?
No, that one's timeless. This one is one that we've busted out on almost every episode for like the last 50.
This is timeful.
And I'm sick of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask it the last time. Amy?
Wait. Is Retro Nemo in the chat?
No, he's not. But he knows. He knows. Maybe, he knows. Yeah.
Maybe he should be the one to ask it. Maybe we should have someone from the audience ask this.
Oh, yeah. Does someone from the audience want to ask the question?
Oh, okay. Nick, are you... Nick, do you want to...
Hey, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Hello. So, basically, the question is, what's your opinion on boars?
Boars? As in American boars? Pigs?
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily American, just boars in general.
God, does this go back to this like whole tweet thread?
No,
about the guy shooting like the wild boars in his garden.
You're overthinking it. Literally, just in the abstract, what is your opinion on boars? There's no context to this. It's just a stupid question.
We've been asking this for millennia.
Do you have an answer?
What do I think about boars?
Yeah.
If they do some good, then I'm all for it.
Well, they really don't. They're actually a very dangerous animal causes a lot of problems.
A lot of problems come from these animals.
Like, if there was a boar in the room with you right now, you would be, like, severely at risk for death. So,
does that change anything?
They eat everything.
Yeah.
Yes, they really do. Really a nuisance.
Yeah. No, I heard the reply all talking about the issue. Have you listened to that?
I have not.
No.
They do a whole episode on these wild boars.
Oh, well, okay. Good to know. Maybe I'll check that out later. Guys, that's probably the last time we're going to ask that. Thank you for submitting that question, Retro Nemo. I hope this has been fun for you.
It had a good run.
It had a good run, according to the chat, which you can access at discord.t1podcast.com if you want to tune into these live.
discord.t1podcast.com.
That is it
what
for
a
boars.
Great question.
Yeah. You can probably see why we're sick of it at this point.
What am I supposed to do with that information now? Great.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Amy, this is also a kind of a good question we try to ask most of our YouTuber guests, which is, where do you see this going? Are you going to be doing this when you're 75, or is this just something to do for now, or... are you quitting next Tuesday, or just any, where do you see it?
For me, like, I don't worry about it. I just do what's, as long as like I can get by and I'm enjoying mm-hmm. myself, then that's all I want out of life. Like, I'm probably never going to stop working. Of course, you know, when your body starts to break down a bit, I'll just have to start painting or something. But I don't, like, I would, like, this sounds a bit morbid, but I would literally, I think I just... like the thought of not being able to do anything with my life, you know, just sitting in a chair, like waiting just to pass away. That horrifies me mm-hmm. just because I just love life so much and there's so much I want to do. So for me, it's like, I'm still dipping my toe in the creative industry and working for studios and working freelance. And I love that because it keeps the side of me that's doing, I don't want to say real animation work, but it's just like the really, like, you know, 15 seconds of like full frame by frame animation that's paid well. And, you know, getting really cool campaigns to do and inventing new stuff. Like, I love that. So that's something I don't want to give up to go, like, properly full-time YouTube unless it was, you know, it made sense to do that. But, like, you know, in 30 years' time, if I get bored of being creative, I might retrain as a marine biologist or a paleontologist and do that. Like, I'm just, I'm excited to do stuff.
You know, dinosaurs are extinct. You can't study them.
Don't just shit on our dreams, Joe.
All right. Study the dead dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put dead... No, Joe, you're wrong. Actually, dinosaurs
not
still
just
exist.
Dinosaurs
actually...
Ooh, they're chickens.
Yeah, they became birds. Did you know that, Joe?
Yes, I knew that, Lars. I know things.
Yeah.
You know, Lars and I have this complicated dynamic where he shits all over my parade, but doesn't like when I shit on his parade.
It really blew my mind when I found out that, like, dinosaurs still exist. Because when I was, like, 10, I thought that they had all died. And they're apparently not a lot of them anymore. Did, but... Well, they are technically genetically are.
Different, but yeah. Have you seen an owl without its feathers? It's horrifying.
No.
Google an owl, like, skeleton or, okay. like, without its feathers. It is horrifying.
Oh, they're my
tiny
God.
And scrawny. No. Yeah, right?
Oh, my God. Lars, are you?
It's a thing of nightmares.
Oh, what the fuck? It looks like a skeleton. With, oh my God, it looks like...
You don't think, like, the feathers take up that much mass, but it's just horrifying, right?
Wait, why are people shaving them? I don't understand.
Well, I'm assuming they're dead.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought this was, like, a new trend or something.
For scientific reasons. No.
God, that's disgusting.
Yeah, right?
Thanks for bringing that to our attention, I guess. You're welcome.
I'm going to post this in the chat. For the,
Yeah. Guys, if this is an audio podcast, if you really want to, I'm not going to put a link to this. It's on you to go Google this.
No, we should have this as the cover art with Amy's Amy's head over the owl's head.
Beautiful.
Lovely. Yeah, guys, Google it at your own risk if you want. I can see why owls do have feathers, just to hide whatever that is.
I kind of want to change my username to Featherless Joe.
All right. It's technically true.
All right. Hold on. I'm going to change it right now. I'll change it after the show.
Okay.
But yeah, dinosaur fat. There is a theory going around now that not just that dinosaurs had feathers, but that the non-theropod dinosaurs, all the scales were actually sort of hardened feathers. Like they were very compacted feathers.
Oh.
So it's still something that they're researching, but like, you know, you see like the sort of nubs and stuff like on along their backs. They're thinking that it might be like super compressed, something that more resembles what makes up feathers than it does of what makes up scales like in reptiles. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
Yeah. No. Have you ever looked up the theoretical design for a T-Rex with feathers?
I love it.
Yeah. I'm going to put this in the chat. It looks cool. Like, it's just like a big-ass chicken.
Like, it's more friendly, but it's also more horrifying.
Yeah, like, if one of these showed up at your door, you'd be like, oh, shit.
Wouldn't there be, like, a fossil with feathers, or just the feathers would never make it that long?
There are imprints of certain dinosaurs. Like, they know for sure that, like, the raptors had feathers.
No, but, like, a T-Rex. If a T-Rex had feathers, would...
This is what they're trying to work out, okay. Because they're taking skin prints from... Like, it's really rare that you find, like, a whole intact fossil with it all in one go.
Yeah.
So, especially with the skin.
Okay. All right.
Well, I think also because, like, bones are more common than fossils, I believe. So, it's like, we have to make a lot of guesses based on a skeletal structure. Don't quote me on that.
Have you guys ever had boneless pizza?
Yeah. Spaghetti?
No, boneless pizza. It's any pizza without a bone in it.
Oh, you're not supposed to put bones in your pizza, Joe.
I mean, if you find a bone in a pizza, I'd be concerned.
Well, normally, I don't order it with the bone in. I order it without.
Can you imagine if a pizza was like a living, breathing thing, like some sort of like sea urchin, but for land, and it's just fleshy?
You cook it.
Oh, to anyone listening in the audience, if you work at a pizza place, can you do something for me? For the next few customers that you get, can you ask them if they want their pizza boneless or bone in? And then just like report back to me on the experience. See what they say. God,
that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Take a look in the recording chat. This is bone in pizza.
No!
Yeah, it's a thing. People order their pizza with bone in.
That's not true, Joe. That's a meme.
How did that happen? What, did somebody just stick
Oh, yeah, I think they just stuck a couple chicken wings in there.
Chicken wing bones.
I mean, it gives a whole new definition to meat feast.
Joe, did you have any more questions?
Yeah, do you play any video games, Amy?
Not as much as I'd like. I'm still trying to.
All right,
finish
well, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you. Let's move on.
No. Let's ask a couple more. What are your all-time favorites, like classics from when you were a kid?
I grew up playing Pokemon. Like, I unfortunately was put in a position when I was a kid that, like, I could only have video games if I saved up my own money. which wasn't very much, so I didn't have as many games as I would have liked as a kid. I never had a Nintendo 64, which made me really sad. But I grew up on Pokemon, had a handful of games like PS1, like Spyro and stuff. But I think all-time favorite is like definitely more recent in like 2010, which is when I played. I was old enough to buy 18-rated games and buy an Xbox for myself, mm-hmm. and I played the Mass Effect trilogy, which is my all-time favorite games.
Did you receive an allowance when you were a kid?
I got some pocket money like every week. If I were, it wasn't so much like if I would do stuff, but it. But yeah, it wasn't very much though.
Lars, did you get an allowance?
Yeah. Also, speaking of Spyro, Joe.
Oh, yeah. We had the creator of Spyro on our podcast.
Yeah. Well, what? not the creator, but he was one of the lead developers of it. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he worked
Has
on.
Has that gone out yet?
Yeah. That was.
That was a very early
one
episode.
Of our first
He's actually more famous for creating the Elder Scrolls, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've unfortunately only played Skyrim. I do own Oblivion, but I didn't get around to playing it.
Okay. I'm gonna make some enemies by saying this. You're not really missing much. The older games are very, they're products of their time. I mean, it's mm-hmm. like it's not their fault that they're kind of outdated at this point, but they're very, very tedious.
What do you think about like the next Elder Scrolls with the idea that they're still using their own engine? Because to me, it just seems really clunky.
That's the same engine they've been using since like 1992. Apparently it
is the one they're intending to use for the next Elder Scrolls, which is a bit worrying because it's kind of outdated.
Yeah, I mean, it was outdated back in like Oblivion mm-hmm. days. It's not a good thing. I mean, I really like the Elder Scrolls, so I'm holding out hope that it's still going to be a good game. But with Bethesda's track record lately, I'm not so sure. Have you heard about Fallout 76 and the controversy with that?
Of course.
Okay, so we don't need to get into that. But yeah, it's not looking good for our boys over in Ireland. Yes.
A lot of game studios at the moment, they're like, obviously Rockstar and Naughty Dog are doing really well, but we're living in this culture now of like either a game does really well or it flops.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's like, obviously, like I follow on with BioWare because of Mass Effect. Andromeda was awful. And that's not me just saying because of the facial animations. That had nothing to do with it in my case. It was just the story and the writing was just awful. I didn't mm-hmm. care about any of the characters, and everybody had this like chipper attitude, as if like, "Oh, cool, yeah, we're in a new galaxy now. Let's make some jokes all the time." You just think, mm-hmm. wouldn't you be taking this a little bit more seriously? Your dad's just died, but I don't have Anthem. I was kind of thinking of getting it, but I don't know. It just seems like there's still a lot of stuff broken, and it seems pretty empty.
Yeah, it got like a 50 or a 60 on Metacritic. I was like, nah, I'll pass.
Because I played Destiny 1. Didn't get Destiny 2 because I was thinking, well, it's just more of the same. But yeah. I was following Anthem for a long time and thinking, oh, you know, this is what Destiny could have been, you know, with all the lore and the cool stuff. And it's just not, which is sad.
I honestly think that the first person shooter / MMO genre at the moment has a lot of work to do to be good. I don't know. I just feel like it's not.
Absolutely.
It's a very underdeveloped genre. Also, you mentioned Naughty Dog and Rockstar, and I've actually thought those are kind of two companies that are really good examples of just taking your time
absolutely to do it right.
Yeah, spending several years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, saying that, like Andromeda was in development for like 5, 6, 7 years maybe. It was a long time. No, it can't have been 7 years. It must have been 5 years. But I don't know whether it's because of EA, mm-hmm. just get meddling, or just that they just messed up massively. But
That's a good qualifier, that if you're going to spend a long time on it, make sure it's like time you're using productively.
I just feel like in this day and age where you need to make sure if you're releasing a AAA game, it needs to be done as right as possible, and if that means delaying it and throwing a few $100 million, like a few million dollars more at mm-hmm. it, what's that in comparison to having a poor game that's not going to sell?
I mean, at the end of the day, though, some of these franchises are in kind of a tough situation because they'll sell anyway, even if they're shit. So, it's kind of like they kind of don't always have an incentive to take the time. Like with the new Pokemon games, what they were saying actually in the interviews about this is that the reason why they had to cut so many corners is because it would have led to a much longer development time. And I'm just like of the persuasion
it's worth
that
it, though.
Yeah, please take that time.
I would have waited. Like yeah. I still haven't finished Pokemon Moon yet, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they wanted to take 7 years to develop a Pokemon game and make it really good, I would really like that. It. Yeah, that's
like,
a great idea.
Breath of the Wild looked incredible. You know, it's not like they can't achieve that kind of open world standard.
Yeah.
They should take the time because this is a big new direction for Pokemon. It should be done right.
I'm just kind of I kind of suspect that Game Freak is kind of over Pokemon to some extent, though, so I think they just don't have the same passion for it that they used to. Because you like compare it to someone like Sakurai who develops Smash Brothers, and you can see that like he and his company really care about this. This is really nerdy game bullshit if we want to move on. But yeah, that's my take on it. Joe, you've been really quiet, by the way.
Yeah, so I've been doing a little bit of research about how our ancestors might not have seen blue, and so the way
Joe,
that is. Yeah.
Joe, we've been recording a podcast. You should be paying attention to the guest. You're just openly insulting her by browsing the web.
No, I'm saying that in order. So
hey, he was fact checking.
All right,
yeah, Lars.
Okay, Joe.
If
that is your real name,
that's
you
that
want to look like a dumbass.
That is my real name, Lars. You know that's my real name.
Go ahead, Joe.
All right.
Go. Say the stuff you were going to say.
All right already.
Go ahead.
So apparently in Homer's The Odyssey, he describes the ocean as wine dark, but not blue.
Wine dark.
Mm. And Egypt was the first society to have a word for blue, the only culture that could produce blue dyes.
I told you.
From then, it seems that awareness of the color spread throughout the modern world.
Amy already told us this, Joe.
Yeah, so that's true. Also,
color facts.
Apparently, there's a tribe in that's called the Himba tribe from Namibia. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Where there's
Namibia.
There's no word for blue and no distinction between green and blue. So they showed the people in the tribe a circle of like 11 green squares and an obviously blue one. And to us, we would be able to find out the difference right away. But it took them a long time to be able to tell the difference. They could not see a difference between the blue and the green.
This is interesting because some of it sounds like that they just didn't have a word for blue, like in the Homer thing.
Well, that's what they thought. But then they actually could not distinguish between the blue and the green.
Wow.
They probably see blue the same way that we see it, but they didn't notice a difference. Because in the wild, there's really, besides the sky, there's nothing else that's really blue.
Mm. I mean, certain flowers, maybe.
Yeah. Birds.
Yeah, but they wouldn't notice.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you have it.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome. That is my contribution. I brought something of value.
About fucking time. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you.
Does anyone want to come on and give a live question, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, long schlong silver for the 80th time in a row.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Here you go, bud.
just to start things off, hello, I am long schlong silver. I will be asking a question. Also, Joe, watch the video I just sent.
Oh, okay. I will.
Yeah, cool.
Watch it.
All right, I'll watch it. Everybody,
watch it.
Let's come back in 15 minutes. So, Lars, cue the Jeopardy music.
All right.
Okay, whilst Joe watches it.
Okay, now that you've watched it, go ahead, Long Shong.
Amy, do you watch Great British Bake Off?
I do not, unfortunately.
Did you know it's staged?
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's all staged. They don't, like, all the shit that they bake, none of it is baked by themselves.
Yeah, they've got to make some cake drama because people are bored of real drama.
Oh, someone I knew who, when I found out about this, someone right next to me who also found out about this had a big breakdown. Like, they did not want to accept it.
Oh, wow. For anybody that's non-British, Great British Bake Off is the kind of popular show on TV at the moment where they bake cakes and it goes wrong and people shout at each other.
We have it here.
Thank you, Shlong, by the way. Also, that's just kind of true about every cooking show, though, and every reality TV show where everything is always fake.
Yeah.
Like, if you look into, like, House Hunters and stuff, they've already bought the house. They just faked the footage of it, like, that they were considering. It's really weird. There's, like, no real reality TV at all.
Even this podcast is staged.
Yeah, this is actually pre-recorded.
I'm
just listening.
Real. I'm just a bot.
Yeah, we're not really having Amy write meow on. We're having somebody who sounds vaguely like her and is pretending.
No. It was machine learning, Joe. We've been able to synthesize the voices.
That's what I meant.
Fake my voice.
That's what I meant.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and unmute. I don't know how to pronounce this. Zobiris? Zobiris? Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, it is Zobiris, but hey, sorry
Zobiris.
About my sorry about my mic last time. I was on my phone, but Amy, you mentioned that like you worked in several animation studios in London.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the biggest projects you worked in?
It's not so much like specific. Like the way creative stuff works is that they have loads of agencies, and it's like sent out to loads of other people. So whilst I would have loved to work directly at Cartoon Network and stuff like that, it was more like I've been involved in a lot of different jobs. Like I was working in-house in Burberry. I did some stuff for, I don't know if you guys have heard of Harrods, but it's like a big...
Yeah, I've been there.
Like fancy shop. Yeah, so Christmas 2016, I helped design a load of stuff that was going on in store. I worked with a team of animators and 3D creatives, so we like designed the whole look of the the windows, and I have to find a picture of me. I'll have to send it on the chat later. Like this picture of me outside being like, oh my god, this is stuff I worked on. I've done some stuff for Heineken, for Ford. I've done some stuff for, I'm still not allowed to mention it because of NDAs, but it was a game that was released earlier this year. It was kind of a big deal, but I wasn't directly involved in like concepting characters and stuff. It was more like how they were going to market it, but it was still cool because it involved making like concepting sculptures of like these characters in like a Romanesque style, but like bleeding gold, like from the Japanese the art of like repairing things with gold. What is it, like kintsugi, something like that? So there's like loads of stuff I've worked on, and I've loved every bit of it because every project is so different. And I think that's why studios have me back, is because like I can tackle everything from like hyper realistic stuff for photo campaigns to like super cartoony stuff. So I'm a bit of a jack of all trades, master of none, but I like it that way because it keeps me on my toes.
By the way, you mentioned you worked on something for Ford. You know,
thank
what
you,
Ford...
Zubiris, by the way.
Thank you. You know what Ford stands for? Fix it again, Tony.
What?
Ford. It stands for fix it Tony.
That's Fiat, Joe.
No, it's Ford.
No, what are you talking about?
What?
Fix it again, Tony, because they always break down.
Okay, Joe.
I mean, I don't know what you're doing to yours. They're pretty reliable over here.
Yeah, I have a Ford. It works really well, and it's like 15 years old at this point, Joe.
Fix it again, Tony. Fix it again, Tony.
This is what I have to put up with every week, Amy. God.
How do you guys cope?
Okay, so let's go ahead and ask the question, which you called lame, but we'll ask it anyway. Amy, what would be your useless superpower?
Ah, so I actually tackled this question back in like 2011 when I did a stupid show with my friends when we thought it was cool when we were like 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. We came up with a few that was like, you'd have super strength, but every time you used your power, you'd like shit yourself. So it's like, oh no, my baby. And it's like, oh, everyone look away. Look away.
Jesus.
That's pretty funny.
The other was like being able to wiggle the leaves on a tree, but like not do anything with them. They just wiggle. So anybody looking at it would be like, oh, it's just the wind, man. And you're just like, no, I'm doing it.
Just use your mind to wiggle the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
But like you can't snap them off, they just wiggle.
Yeah, that's pretty useless. When would you ever have to do that? Maybe for like movie effects, there's no wind and you
yeah,
want
exactly.
it.
Yeah, exactly. If you need the wind, if it's blowing in a certain way, maybe it would be useful to make some sort of pattern. But what if you're like not even that good? and it just randomly wiggles.
It's inconsistent.
Can't even get it to wiggle right.
It only wiggles when there's already wind.
Yeah. Only if wind is present.
That's completely useless.
Exactly. It's the perfect useless superpower.
Have it wiggle when it's already wiggling and the same amount.
Yeah.
What about the ability to watch YouTube videos at like 1% faster?
Okay.
Like every 100 YouTube videos, you have one extra time that you can do with your day.
I mean, that would be pretty useless.
Yeah. Yeah.
But is that a superpower? Or like,
no.
I'm pretty sure you could probably hack YouTube to make that.
Yeah, that's probably already an option. I think that is. You can like watch a video already faster. So that's like, yeah, I disqualified Joe. Sorry.
All right.
I actually listened to my audiobooks on like 0.5 faster. Which is kind of pointless.
Yeah.
But I pressed it and I just leave it there. So.
Sure. Yeah. By the way, guys, if you want to listen to audiobooks as well, you should go to audibletrial.com/T1podcast to get a free book of your choice today. Joe, what's that URL?
audibletrial.com/T1podcast to get a free book.
Free book. Guys, it's
today.
Free. I know we're repeating ourselves, but it's free.
I just downloaded the 7 Habits of Highly Successful People.
Ah, what are they?
I don't know. I haven't read it yet. I'm excited to.
You'll have to listen to it to find out.
I will.
Okay.
Look at you being productive, and there's me listening to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, I love that book. Did you know that the author listened to the same song on repeat as he was writing that whole book?
Wow. I also do that, though. Like, if I find, like, I'm one of those weirdos that if I find a song that I like, I will just listen to it on repeat until I hate it.
Yeah.
It's a curse.
That's pretty common, though. That's driving a thing you love into the ground, yeah.
Mm.
Joe, is there anything else we need to go over, or what should we do? Help. Joe. Help.
Well, do you like to travel, Amy?
I do. I love traveling.
What have you been to South America?
I mean, no.
Have you been to what's your favorite place you've been to?
Iceland.
Ah, what did you like about Iceland?
I deal with cold weather really well, so I like wrapping up warm. I didn't realize how expensive it was before I went, so when I got there, I got a bit of a shock when it was like the equivalent of like $55 for just like a lasagna.
Really?
Or like $15 for a coffee.
What?
A small coffee.
Wait, why is it that much?
Yeah, it's incredibly expensive out there. But I had an Airbnb, like little rented log cabin in the middle of nowhere. Didn't even see the northern lights that night, but just sitting in a hot tub, looking up at the stars, my hair freezing. So I had to keep dipping it in the water to unfreeze it. It was pretty spectacular.
Probably if you didn't dip it in the water the first time, it wouldn't have froze.
That is true.
But once
I'm a dumbass.
Well, once you dip it for the first time, you have to keep dipping.
Hindsight is 20/20, Joe.
It's true.
Wait, was
so what was your least favorite place to travel?
What a weird question.
Actually, Tunisia when I was a kid. Like my dad and stepmom would travel a lot, and they would always go to, I don't want to say unconventional places, but like less touristy places. Like I've been to Borneo, I've been to a lot of places when I was younger, including Disneyland Florida, because it's the best. But yeah, Tunisia is a bit, I don't know if it's changed now, but because I had sort of lighter hair and being like 9 years old, like people kept grabbing me and it was awful.
Oh.
Wait, what was that one university where they, like, all the students scream every night?
Where did that come from?
I don't know. It just popped in my head. I remembered, like, reading about this, about how there's some university where, like, to relieve stress, there's, like, a communal scream or something. I don't know.
That sounds cathartic.
Yeah, that actually sounds nice.
Somebody was asking in the chat about linking stuff to previous animators or something like that.
Oh, yeah. The chat at discord.t1podcast.com if you want to tune into these live. Well, it's kind of a specific question. Are you familiar with some of the animators that they're talking about, like Senior Palo or Daft Pina or any of them?
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of animators on this podcast, including...
That's a weird flex, Joe.
Including Senior Palo.
I listened to the one with Senior Palo. That's a bit of a mental one.
Oh, what did you think?
I loved it.
Cool.
Cool. Oh,
a lot of screaming.
Oh, the chat says it's Harvard that does that. Okay.
Hmm.
Apparently they scream during the exam week or something at night.
I mean, I guess that relieves a lot of stress.
Yeah. Hey, the chat's also mentioning Senior Palo, a classic. Yeah, he was a great guest. He was as loud as you'd expect. And yeah.
That was a hoot and a holler and a half.
Well, yeah, we don't have to talk about other guests though for too long, Joe. Let's talk about Amy.
Yeah. You know, at the college that Lars and I went to during finals week, there is a I think it's the last Thursday of finals week, there's an undie run where you strip to your undies and run through campus.
Yep.
Lars, did you ever go to the undie run?
No, this wasn't really my cup of tea.
Oh, running?
Just running around in my underwear. It seems kind of silly, but I don't begrudge other people for
it. Is silly. I went a few times. It got really big one year where like 4,000 or 5,000 people went, and then there was like a huge police presence.
Yeah.
And after that, people like I don't know how many people went like in recent years, but fewer and fewer people ended up going after that.
I had an ex-girlfriend who went on one of those, and like someone like forcefully kissed her.
It's weird
when she was running, so like it kind of got like a bad taste for that. It's kind of a sketch.
I mean, I joined the Facebook running group for my university. Never went running with them, though.
But you were in the group.
But I was in the group.
Oh, that's good.
So there was really nothing to that at all. You just like...
No.
Okay.
Just thought I should let you know.
All right. Thank you.
Well, that's on the same, you know, on the same topic as...
That's true, yeah.
As us talking about the undie run that Lars never went to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, every so often, like, my university situation was really weird because it was a very removed creative university. But every so often, like, there would be a spare room with, like, a projector, and me and some of the other animators would sneak in and play Slenderman. And then people, like, other girls in the class started complaining because it was too scary.
By the way, I noticed that Quentin Reviews follows you, and he has a very silly hat in his picture right now, so.
Yeah, a lot of his videos.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joe, should we wrap things up?
Yeah.
It's getting to be about that time, unless there's anything else we're dying to talk about.
No, I don't know. I think that's everything.
Okay.
You guys want to know the rough title of my next video?
Yeah.
It's How a Relationship with Fictional Aliens Saved My Life.
Okay.
That's very, very relatable.
I know, right?
I love that.
Are you guys both weird? What's going on?
Yes, obviously.
Okay.
So I'm hoping the people that see it that relate to it will be like, oh my god, yes. And then the other people on your side of the spectrum would be like, what the hell?
Mm.
So,
Do you have a favorite suitcase?
Favorite suitcase? I have had the same suitcase since I was 13 years old.
Okay.
And it is a Quicksilver one.
All right. Lars, anything else?
Yeah. Oh, I actually do have kind of a question. This is kind of a standalone thing here. I'm just kind of curious. How do you manage to sustain an audience when you have several months at sometimes in between a single video?
It's difficult. Obviously, like when I do get freelance work, it pays really well.
Yeah.
So like the lure of that is really hard to resist sometimes. Cause it's like, oh yeah, but if I just take this job for like a month, I'll be set for like a few months if I want to take that out and do YouTube. But obviously it does massively like adversely affect how the channel does, because I don't know the pure statistics of this, but it seems like YouTube stops recommending you as much if you have big gaps on your channel, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing a bit of a test at the moment in that I'm kind of turning down most things until February next year, because I'm actually going to be at VidCon London as a feature creator. So I'm giving it my best shot until then and see if it's something that is sustainable for a longer run rather than like going back to rely on freelance work and then coming back to YouTube.
Amy, you have so many followers on TikTok. You have 116,000 followers.
Yeah.
And 1.2 million likes. That's really good.
Yeah, there was like one video I did an animated version of the Spooky Scary Skeleton Dance. And the rough version of me, like, I've animated a very small section of it, and the rest of it is rough. It's like 2.something million views.
2.8 million.
Stupid, like. It's ridiculous. And then the cleanup one after that has like 100K. It's just like, wait, guys, this one's better though.
People like that it's simple. It gives them something to cling on to.
No, I agree. I think it's like people see like seeing the rough in process side of things and feeling like they can do it too.
But you know what?
Like, both of it isn't just all like commercial.
Both of those videos did really well because out of the one that got 200,000, about 50,000 liked it, which is 25%. And then the one that got 2.8 million, about 600,000 liked it, which is also like one out of four, something like that. So both of them got like a really high percentage of likes compared to the number of people who saw it. Good job.
Thank you.
Do you play around with the analytics and whatnot?
Not with TikTok. I look at them occasionally on YouTube, but
Amy, did you just start following me today?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, because I just followed you right now and it said we're friends. So I was like, wait, were you following me before? Like, did you like...
No, I checked you out when you said your name.
Oh, that's cool. What do you think?
I haven't had a chance to look at videos yet because that would make
extra
audio.
Don't put so much pressure on her, Joe. Just be nice to the guest.
Look at him now. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
You can send me like a checklist of like questionnaire that I can fill out later.
No, it's okay. Okay. I'll just send you some memes.
No, I think that's kind of the how it goes, though, with content creation, where people, like, I don't know if you know who Pyrocynical is, but, like, once in a while, he'll come out with, like, a banger of a video where he goes in depth for, like, an hour into some obscure game or something, but then people just want, like, the shitty 10-minute meme videos. I think it's just a kind of a problem with video content worldwide is just people want the simple stuff. People want the stuff that they can get a quick giggle out of and move on with their day.
Yeah, no, it's rare that like you can, it's the same with working in industry in that like you can take on the jobs, like even with like doing animation, you think, oh, this is such a cool job, I'm going to be animating stuff. But like people don't realize that most of the jobs you're going to be doing are like stupid pharmaceutical work. You know, there's so much like that you don't see behind the scenes of the glamorous side of like cartoons and TV. It's the same with everything though. Yeah. But I particularly love TikTok because it's something like, I'm really bad at like focusing on long-term videos. So one of my videos takes about 3 to 4 weeks to make from start to finish.
Yeah.
Sometimes very rarely less, but if it's a proper like 10-minute video, then yeah, it's going to take about 3 to 4 weeks. And after the first week, I really start to struggle with the motivation to do it because I like kind of quick fix stuff. And TikTok, I absolutely love because it gives me the chance to do like proper, like frame by frame animation, do stupid stuff, but you're only committing to 15 seconds of it. Mm-hmm. Even though it doesn't technically make money, it's the fun side that I'd like. Mm-hmm. I would ideally like to do on YouTube, but it's not sustainable, you know?
Yeah.
Makes TikTok's sense. Fun.
I'm not a TikToker, so I'll take you guys' word for it. Joe, if people wanted to wear our podcast, what's the best way to do that?
Merch.t1podcast.com. You can check out our phones, our little tote bags.
Joe, chutzpah, excitement.
Chutzpah, of course.
Yeah.
Go to merch.t1podcast.com. You can look at our little stickers. We've got a picture of a coffee table. You can put a little picture of a microwave on there if you want. And also phone cases. You got to protect your phone. You might as well use one of our phone cases.
Yeah, if you love the show, you'll buy it.
Merch.t1podcast.com.
Purchase something today or else. By the way, just to explain, the reason why we have a sticker, which is an image of a coffee table, is because some people were requesting that we sell a coffee table on our merch store.
And we're like, yeah, we'll look into that.
Yeah, and so obviously
wow,
you can't.
Wow, what an odd request.
Yeah, obviously you can't do that. So they were like, well, what about a picture of a coffee table?
And you're like,
I was able to rig that up. Yeah. So that does, yeah.
You can buy a picture of a coffee table.
If you really want to, yeah, for like $8. All right, Joe. If people have been tuning in for a while and they want to help support the show in a way that gets some really cool benefits, how can they do that?
Patreon.com/T1podcast. Lars, what are those benefits?
Benefits include early listening access to episodes like this one.
Listening? How early is that?
Depends on the episode, but once we crank them out through the editing room, they're out to you before everyone else.
Up to 3 weeks early.
As well as bonus episodes of the show that only a few select individuals have ever been able to listen to because they're part of our exclusive club.
We're recording a bonus episode tomorrow. By the time this goes out, it won't be tomorrow, but
Yeah.
And for anyone listening live in the chat right now, if you're a Patreon member, you can listen to our bonus episode live.
Yeah, you also get a special role in the Discord, a patron-only chat where we make fun of the plebs, and lots of other cool stuff. Also, $10 patrons, please send in your dramatic readings. They are due. We need to do them pretty soon because it's coming up to the mid of the month. $10 patrons can send in shout-outs or dramatic readings for us to do on air. And there are other tiers as well. Patreon.com/T1podcast.
Patreon.com/T1podcast.
Make sure we do not starve is the point there. Amy, if starving. People... Are you? Are you okay, Joe?
I'm so hungry, Lars.
Jesus.
I haven't been able to eat.
Amy, if people do want to tune into your stuff, how can they go ahead and do that? Yeah, I'm just going to ignore Joe there.
Same name, Amy Wright Meow, across Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok now. So, yeah, pretty easy to find. Just look me up.
Why Wright Meow? Why is that the name?
Ah-ha-ha. It links to an old account that I had my first start on YouTube. And it's kind of a secret because I kind of got semi-famous from that back in the day. And it's very, very specific and niche and really weird. And it involves, at some point, Priscilla Presley.
Okay, well I guess that'll be a secret she takes to the grave. Joe, I think that's going to do it.
Are you going to see the new Sonic movie?
I will now that it looks better.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if this was like a ruse. Because, you know, I've been keeping up with stuff on Twitter and the guy that has helped make Sonic look better. But to me, that just seems like a completely impossible task to replace Sonic in all of the scenes and get the movie ready with a brand new Sonic. But I don't know. Maybe they did. Or maybe they geared it up in a way that everybody thought, like, oh, this looks awful.
Maybe they're just stupid. Maybe they did a bad job. And maybe they just, I don't know, like, I guess we'll never find out.
It looks a lot better. I'll go see it for Jim Carrey more than anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Joe, we gotta end this on a funny note. So do your thing.
All right. The pressure's on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're, I can't just come up with funny things off the top of my head.
I mean, I once got out of my car and actually slipped on a banana peel. Like, I actually slipped on a banana peel. I didn't think it would be that slippery, but it really is. You should, if you try it, you probably fall. Just like in the cartoons.
Yeah, the cartoons weren't lying, man. Yeah.
I once ate a banana.
If you're in the recording chat, can you please type 5?
5.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.